Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Hour number two of Josh and Swain. Thank you for being with us. We had to leave you for a moment there, Swain. You were in the middle of a good run, too. We had somebody in the YouTube chat say, man, I think we just missed the second half of the Swain rant as we're here at Land Rover Knoxville today. Audio cut out. We apologize for that. Bad take, Andy. Engineering here today, getting everything fixed up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just – every time there's a performance that's not favorable, I think it's easy to kind of point the finger at the coaches. And sometimes the players just didn't play good enough, all right? And sometimes they're just not good enough. And that's why you recruit over them. Sometimes it's that simple. But no one's going to say that. Mm-hmm. But I'll say it. That's the case.
When I played, when I didn't make the play, it wasn't the coach's fault. It was my fault. When offense failed to score, it wasn't always the coach's fault. It was our fault. And sometimes it is that simple.
When Cedric Wilson yelled at you guys, he wasn't yelling at you about the coaches. He was yelling at you about you.
I mean, he wasn't yelling at me. He
was
yelling,
it was your other teammates.
He was yelling at the group, but okay. He didn't say anything to me personally. But sometimes it's not simple. It's just pointing a finger at the coach. But the coach is not going to throw his players under the bus publicly. But it is that simple. Just ask Ramon. I'm sure he'll tell you.
Let's bring him on to the show as we kick off hour number two here. We're at Land Rover Knoxville on Parkside Drive. We'll be for two more hours. We say hello to a VFL, former Tennessee and NFL offensive lineman, Ramon Foster, and former teammate of Jason Swain. Ramon, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us. How are you?
Man, I'm good, but I'm not as good as y'all, man. Doing shows at a Land Rover dealership? Jeez.
Hey, soon we're going to be in a car doing it, man. We're going to be in the front seat doing the car, doing the show, man. Hey Ramon, how many times that when you play for the Steelers did you or the players just didn't play your best, but the coaches didn't throw you under the bus and kind of took the blame while all the fans were like, what's wrong with the coaches, man? The scheme wasn't great. But maybe the scheme was good, but you just didn't execute.
You know what? Some of the time it falls on the players. And honestly, this is the other side, too. The coaches are paid to take that heat, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you assume responsibility when it comes down to it. It's either sometimes the coach's fault for not coaching up the player good enough, or really, let's just say, the player sometimes just not receiving what the coach is giving them. That worked both ways.
It really does. I mean, I look at how the defense played against Pittsburgh, Ramon. Like, they were awesome. They were the reason why we won. But, like, no one was saying, oh, man, this offense, what's going on with Heupel? Man, is Heupel lost it? Like, no one did that. But the defense had a little bit of a rough time with an awesome player in Anthony Richardson for that one game. Matter of fact, we won the game. And now, you know, there's questions about Tim Banks. Like, no, man, Tim Banks was good last year. He's good this year. It's just one game. And let him continue to get more players, more speed in here, and people will see the defense continue to improve. That's why I asked you that.
Yeah, for sure. And this was the thing. So I think if you were looking at the game this past weekend, players were getting beat or in wrong zones. Like, and I'll be honest with you, it was a couple of times that Anthony Richardson missed a couple of passes where guys were in bad positioning. That is on the players on the field. Like, you coach up players to be ready for the game. And if you just simply get out-athlete by somebody, or you look in the backfield when it comes down to the secondary and you get beat on the play, that's bad. I don't think we can say, well, it was Tim Banks as far as the tackling on the back end of that first touchdown for Florida.
No.
That was just simply bad tackling by the players. Not once, but two times. I almost feel like it was three times they could have gotten them down on that first touchdown. That right there is it. That's player to player, man. And you got to kind of check yourself. And this is the other thing. So I was around at halftime. I was around Al Wilson. And they were having a conversation about, you know, Anthony Richardson breaking contain or guy, you know, making one or two plays that they shouldn't have. And you know what he said? He said, man, I'm going to those players and telling them, you better get your you-know-what together. Like, that ain't on them. That's on us. That's the mentality. That is the mindset when it comes down to guys, you know, not making their plays, Swain. It's just like an offensive lineman. You can be to the inside. Well, you can chalk that up and say, hey, man, he's due a play. If it happens again, no, that's on you, the player. A lot of the times it's quick to go at the coaches. I was talking to Ron this morning on our show, Ron Slay this morning, about Tim Banks. And it's funny his name keeps coming up because you say, well, we had him by 17 points. Well, some of the times you're just supposed to play your coverage and get out of the stadium. Swain, you know this also. That's okay. Tim Banks, to me, has done a really good job considering what this offense is and what it ain't sometimes. Mm. It can really put a defense in a really bad position. And I'll say this. I'm really looking forward to watching what they're able to do as far as recruiting, simply because you got to go get those types of players that understand what they're getting themselves into. Yes. You got to be able to go get those trench monsters that really can't control the line of scrimmage, but you also got to look and see what type of trench monsters you're getting. Maybe you go get the 290-pound defensive lineman that wrecks havoc. Like watching what some of the guys on this defense are doing that are probably a little bit undersized, you say to yourself, well, this fits what they do well. They got to be well-conditioned. They got to be gap sound. They have to understand, look, we might get 45 seconds, literally. Well, I say in football time, you might get 2 minutes of rest, and then you're right back at it. And guess what? It's no excuse for it because you signed up for this gig also.
You mentioned offensive linemen a little bit, and you mentioned trench monsters. What about that boy Javonte Spraggins, Ramon? I know you saw him out there.
Yeah. And you know what, Swain? He was due one. You know what? Let's just be real about that, too. He was due one or two. He had a couple instances in Pitt. And against Akron, like, come on, Sprague. But you know what, Swain? I guarantee you he had a comment to Jesus with his teammates and with himself to say, hey, dog, you're no longer a young guy. You got to go out here and ball and put these boys on their faces. I like the attitude that these young guys are starting to play with. I guess they're not all young guys now, but this group that's coming together, like, this is a new OL. Like, watching them kind of grow together, watching them kind of have a sense of pride. This is a portion of the season in which that nastiness deserves to come out a little bit. You watching them, you know, take ownership of a couple plays. We can't say as quick as this offense is that Hendon doesn't have time, and also they're not making holes for the running back. They're answering the call, and they're doing it at the right time in the season.
We're talking to Ramon Foster, former Tennessee and NFL offensive lineman, VFL. And, Ramon, I know you've been back a few times. That includes this past weekend. So seeing it up close and personal, how would you describe the state of Tennessee's program, where it is now a year and a half, approaching 2 years into it with Josh Heupel as the head coach?
Man, I'm excited for what's in store. And this, to me, I think is – it seems to be more sustainable. And I'll tell you why, in my opinion. It's because this coaching staff is making everything that they're doing about the guys that are on the field. I feel like coaches in the past have kind of become – have wanted to become stars themselves. I feel like they've kind of made it a me type of situation. I feel like now when you ask those guys what's the most important thing to that team, they say themselves, and then they say the family in which they've created, you know, together. And it was spearheaded by Heupel. A lot of people laughed. Oh, they're playing dodgeball. Oh, it's a bunch of kumbaya. Well, guess what you got to do? You got to gain those guys' trust. Those coaches came in trying to do that. And I think that's why this model in which they have right now is sustainable. And it looks, I hate to use that word fun because football is a very violent violent sport, but it's inviting. Look at what the recruits are saying. And it's not just, you know, well, the coaches are telling me this. No, they're saying the players are telling them that. Swain, one of the biggest recruiting tools you can have on your team, and you guys have been around football a long enough time, is the guys that are in that locker room. The one thing those dudes would do, especially the ones not playing or not in the position that they think they should be in, they're going to let you know, hey, man, this ain't the place for you to be at. And we're not seeing that come out amongst those guys that are being recruited by the University of Tennessee.
I agree. Bayless Jones was on social media recruiting on behalf of Tennessee when he was done playing at Tennessee. Alante was back in the spring, maybe, Swain,
yep.
And he was visiting with some DBs who were on a recruiting trip.
Yep.
I mean, that spoke volumes, I thought.
Ramon, what was the play for you? Everyone has their own opinion of, like, that turning point. And you played this game long enough. Your coach always tells you, you play each game as if – each play as if – it's your last, because you just never know what play is going to swing the game in your favor. for you, Ramon, what was that play for Tennessee that really just turned everything around for Tennessee on Saturday?
I think the Jabari Small run. You know, like, that to me, that run was violent. That run was intentional. They were stacking the line of scrimmage, and they still were able to break through. That was one of my biggest questions. Well, I hear about how they're passing and they're fast paced. Yes, that's beautiful. That's to be expected. But watching Jabari run that ball, I think, what was it, 40 yards? I don't know how long it was. It seemed like it was 100 because it was against that Florida defense, man. But looking at him break that line of scrimmage was huge. And I say another was probably Hendon Hooker on the almost sack long third down run that he ended up getting down the field to. It showed a bunch of will. It showed a bunch of guys being on the same page and not caring who got the credit. On that same play with Hendon down the sideline when he broke that big run, you see Brew McCoy, a guy that's blocking down the field to make sure that his run, his quarterback gets those extra yards, man. It's a bunch of selfless stuff that's going on that if you're a fan of football, you like watching.
Hey, Ramon, let me ask you a little bit earlier when Tennessee was backed up before that long drive to close out the half. Jabari had kind of been tossed down right after the whistle. Jerome Carvin shoves a player. They go back and forth.
Yeah.
You're there on the interior of the offensive line. What's Jerome Carvin's role? What's the offensive lineman's role when they see one of their teammates get tossed to the ground like that?
Man, let me just say this. University of Tennessee is good when they got a savage from West Tennessee from the offensive line playing for them, okay? I just got to throw that out there because I'm a West Tennessee kid myself, okay? And watching him operate the way he does, I saw it up close and personal when we went to Pittsburgh. He is the one that's bringing that group together. He is the one that's telling them what our goals are. And he is a guy that you know that plays with that passion, like myself, like Trey, okay? That in recent history, that you say to yourself, man, you got to play with that type of fire. That in itself, even if he has his limitations when it comes to athletically, you know, on the field, guess what? That attitude is going to take him a very long way, man. And I'll say this, that's what he's supposed to do, but not everybody is going to sign up for that job. He's the guy that's signing up for that, and I love watching him be that guy, man.
Sounds like Ramon's representing for West Tennessee. It sounds like
I just had to throw a shout out like that. When we can go into that Memphis area and get those recruits, that's when you know you're in a good space.
Ramon,
and Chad Clifton's another guy who's a West Tennessee guy.
I was going to say Tennessee, period, because I think about Scott Wells and how savage of a player he was on the offensive line. So I'm going to let you get your shine with West Tennessee. I think it's Tennessee all together, man.
It is, because you know how most offensive linemen are anyway, very prideful group, man. And there is some really good talent in this group. I hate that Sam Pittman has come into Henry County and taken a kid to Arkansas. They got him committed right now. But the guys that go to the University of Tennessee from this state that play OL, there is a sense of pride in it because of you know what it means to the state. We think a little bit more than other positions. I'm sorry, Swain, but that's just how it is. I took it personally, though, whenever I walked out on that field, and I'm from this state, and I had to represent this state on the field, too, because I knew I had people from West Tennessee to East Tennessee watching us play, and I needed to really fight that stigma of, oh, there's no real talent in Tennessee. Yes, the heck it is, man, and I'm glad those guys getting that opportunity to show it.
I was talking to Arian Foster, and hopefully he won't mind me sharing this, but he said the trip back for him was like soul food. We got a chance to spend time together Friday night. And there's a lot of guys that it's been a while that they've been back on Rocky Top. It was soul food for Arian Foster. You know, how do you feel about, you know, Arian's comments there as you saw so many players back on campus?
Man, we had a whole lot of conversations about that. A good bit of our class of 2004 came back, and some of them for the first time. Arian was one of those guys, and y'all see how his stuff has been documented. And we kept telling them in the group chat, myself, Rob, DeMonte was one of those guys. Chris Brown was telling Arian, I don't think you understand what you did at this university. People want to see you. You got to be more visible. And after he saw that, we all went to dinner Friday night at Ruth Chris, and we sat around for a while, way longer than we should have. And he admitted some stuff. He was like, man, I didn't know what I didn't know about this school and what my importance was to it was. he admitted, look, like I had a bad perception of the way I left. And he left, of course, differently than most did and had a whole bunch of anger about it. When you go undrafted and you play as well as guys did, I felt that way for a little bit too. Like, I had that chip on my shoulder because of some things too. But when you go back and you receive that love and you see people that's telling you, man, we enjoyed you here despite what the past was, he had a real aha moment, man. I ended up introducing him to AD Danny White. And then, Coach, of course, he knew who he was, and I think they ended up exchanging numbers. And it's good for the University of Tennessee to have guys like himself, who was an all-pro, Pro Bowl type of guy, one of those visible type of NFL representations that can, you know, be an ambassador to the University of Tennessee. And we've still been talking about it in our group chat since. Swain, you saw us be together, yep. Man. And it was good for him to actually kind of witness that himself.
Yeah. I was lucky to be there, man. I'm class of 03, but got the special invite, and I'm glad that I was there, man. It was special, man. You guys are special. It was good to be around.
Appreciate
you guys.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, it was a good time, like legitimately was, man. It was good seeing you. Ron was there also. Who else was in that building from us? Antoine Stewart came around. Yeah. It was real good vibes.
Great vibes.
Yep. Did you have to hold Ron Slay back at any point this past weekend? I know he's ready to go. I saw him on the Jumbotron. I know he's ready.
No, he was good, man. Was interesting. I told him this morning, I was like, man, you basketball players always seem to make yourselves down to the football field when none of y'all actually play football. He said, hold on, Mom, be cool. He said, Al Wilson gave me the green light years ago. I was like, okay, well, you good.
Of course, I'm
going back and forth with him. But that's what you want, Swain. You know this also, man. When we're good, and everything is well in the University of Tennessee, every sport blends together. Football to basketball, okay, to baseball, to friggin' supporting the Lady Vols. Like, it all meshes. And I feel like that's kind of where we're headed to right now. And just watching each other, like, sell out for one another in other sports, man, is really, really, really sweet.
Sure.
Yep. Ramon, great stuff here. Glad you were able to be in town and be a part of everything this past weekend. Some big games still coming up at Neyland Stadium this season. So I hope you're able to get back. But thanks so much for the time today. This was great.
No doubt.
Ramon Foster, VFL, former Tennessee and Pittsburgh Steelers offensive lineman. He was fired up, you could tell.
Absolutely was fired up.
Especially shouting out the in-state O-lineman, as he should.
Oh, I love that. I love that he takes pride in, you know, his position. His state, that's what it's about. It's about having that pride, and that's what makes you go hard during the games. It's what makes you go hard during workouts. It means something playing football at the University of Tennessee. You can tell that from our players and the way they played on Saturday. You can tell from our former players by how they showed up.
By the way, Jamie, checking out the show in Northeast Georgia, said we're back in all sports. Football, baseball, soccer's rocking. Lady Vol is going to be top 10 this year. Back in all sports. As Ramon was talking about, all
down.
The sports.
Calm down, Jamie. Calm down. Hey, we on the way.
Heupel said, maybe he was talking about all the sports.
He said Rocky Top is back. He was talking about the atmosphere and recruiting. We're on the way to being back. We'll see about the Georgia-Kentucky game.
Oh, Swain over here, old negative media, trying to bring everybody down. That's what it is.
That's me, man. That's me. You know, sorry to bring a little of, realistic flavor to the conversation here. Sorry about that.
Well, leave it to me. I'll spin it positive. We'll continue here. Land Rover Knoxville positive. You'll find something cool when you come on down Parkside Drive, where we are today with you until 3 o'clock on Josh and Swain on 99.1, the Sports Animal. We're back on Josh and Swain. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Thanks for hanging out wherever you are, however you might be listening or watching the show. We're at Land Rover Knoxville, Parkside Drive. Swain hydrating. You got to. Hydration is key.
Ramon, man.
Get you fired up last segment?
Ramon,
he was great.
Ramon was something
great.
Else. The long run from Jabari Small, that was like slicing a hot knife through butter on that drive. No resistance from Florida's defense. We came out there in the second half. And listen, Heupel, adjustments, in-game adjustments, for some reason, was questioned. That halftime adjustment was on point because Tennessee came out and just ran the ball down Florida's throat. I love that Ramon picked that play. It's funny because everyone has different plays about what turned the game. For me, and I've shared this yesterday, it was the 99-yard drive where Jabari Small ran straight through the middle of the Florida defense after the scrum and carried half of the Florida's defense, and then you had Tennessee's offensive lineman pushing him forward too.
Mm-hmm.
That was we here. You're not gonna push us around. We the bullies today. That was the statement that I got from that play. And then Hendon had the third down and 10, flipped his shoulders, flipped his hips, got the ball to Princeton Fant, and then had the long pass to Ramel Keaton. We went down to score before the half, got the ball back in the third quarter, and that was the Jabari Small run, and went down and scored again. So it was good to hear Ramon's opinion of kind of what play changed the game for him.
Well, you remember the Pittsburgh game? We were talking about some of those second-half mistakes, and it was a one thing led to another issue.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a good and a bad. It was one good play that led to the next big play. If you don't pick up the third down, well, then you don't have the Ramel Keaton play to be able to hit. If you don't have the Billy Napier timeout that forced Tennessee to say, okay, clock stop, let's draw something up here on third down, see if we can advance this drive because we don't want to kick it back to Florida.
No.
That's why he called timeout. So one thing led to another in a positive direction for Tennessee.
Sure did. Sure did. That's a great point that you brought that up. Good point, man. Good point. Got any more today?
That's probably going to hit my quota for today, but I can work on tomorrow.
It's just 125, Josh. we need you to bring some more steam, man.
We still have the face-off coming up, so I better come up with some good points if I want to be a winner today.
I hope so.
Be great every day on Josh and Swain. We did have it brought up. Now, maybe he's already beaten his defender. He's going up for the ball instead of diving for it. But does Cedric Tillman make that catch that Ramel Keaton did? I think it's just a different play the way that it's run. But Keaton stretched out to make a great play, no doubt about
that. I don't
know.
Does Hendon throw it out in front like to Keaton, or does he throw it a little bit short, wanting Tillman to catch it high? You just never know.
Mm-hmm.
You honestly never know. All I know is Ramel Keaton saw the ball, tracked the ball, knew that he needed to dig a little bit more, did that, and then timed it perfectly and caught the ball, keeping the ball off the ground, turned his body to protect the ball from the ground. It was great. Ramel Keaton was awesome mm-hmm. Saturday. And I said this on Ramon's show this morning. I've been waiting on him to do something.
Yeah.
Hey, man, ain't no free scholarships here. You got to do something. And he did.
He was a big-time recruit when he came here.
He was a four-star from Marietta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And those guys on that team, I was kind of looking sideways like, is Eric Gilbert the only one that's a baller? You can't let him be the only baller. I had questions because we saw Harrison Bailey didn't work here. So I was like, wait, it's time. He is a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, when you hit sophomore, junior, I'm like, all right, let's make some plays. So I've been wondering that with Ramel for at least a year and a half.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have.
But Saturday, man, he was special. He was special.
Yeah.
He was special.
Made winning plays for Tennessee.
And everyone talks about the long pass, and it was great. Beat the man's line of scrimmage, outran him, dove, caught the ball. But for me, it was his first catch. It was a curl route, coming back to the ball, making two guys miss and picking up a third down.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't get that, you don't have the ball anymore, probably. The long pass, if he misses that, you still have an opportunity. It was a first down throw. You still have an opportunity to drive the ball down the field and score again. But third down catches, Hyatt had one of those. Princeton Fant had one of those. Third down plays, man, those are huge plays. Those are drive extenders. Very, very important.
We'll come back 90 minutes to go here on Josh and Swain at Land Rover Knoxville on Parkside Drive. That's where we are. We'll hit the face-off. Five tough questions from Joel Silverberg coming up. Another hour and a half of Josh and Swain before Sports Talk takes over on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Josh and Swain here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. 90 minutes to go. We enter the second half of today's show. Cool event coming up here in just a few days. We'll tell you about that before the hour ends. Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports, an hour from now. We're already entering week four of the NFL. Also, maybe Jay sees Tennessee being back. He's just down the road in Atlanta, Yahoo Sports, to see Tennessee back. We had part of that conversation earlier. We'll see if we can get back to it as well. Thanks for all the interaction as we continue at Land Rover Knoxville on Parkside Drive. Beautiful rides, new pre-owned to see some Range Rover options out there on the lot as well where we are today.
Sure, man. It's always a beautiful sight here. Ranges, you have the Defender here right next to us. Dark gray matte paint with the black wheels, black tint.
We've gotten text saying, hey, we're looking for Defenders. Well, we found one for you.
They're right here, right? Because Rocket Top is back.
That's it. That's it. We'll be here for another hour and a half, so stop on by if you're in the area. Parkside Drive, we're at Land Rover Knoxville. This is Josh and Swain. Joel Silverberg sets us up with today's face-off.
Do you want some? Come get some!
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man!
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
Alrighty, Joel, the face-off presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic. What do you have for us today?
What is the most important thing for Tennessee to work on during its bye week?
I would say special teams. Hands team was very, very important. Didn't execute that well against Florida. Continue to tighten up punt protection. All those things that kind of reared his ugly head against Pittsburgh and didn't look necessarily fixed after the pick game. And then secondary one-on-ones. Get a lot of one-on-one action in with the receivers. And build confidence with our corners because I think they're going to need it going down to LSU.
Yeah, it can be long-term, but I would be short-term preparing for what we're going to do with the talent LSU has at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels appears to be back. He went out Saturday. Brian Kelly said no issues there. I don't think he's as talented as Anthony Richardson, but he's talented enough and he's more experienced. So I would be focusing on what is our plan for LSU.
Do you have any problems with today's ruling on Memphis's basketball program?
Nice little slap on the wrist there. That's about it.
As a Tennessee football fan, I have no grounds to be sitting here pointing the fingers at what Memphis is doing. Mm-hmm. I think Tennessee is going to benefit from this little slap on the wrist, Memphis basketball. I mean, Memphis basketball was clearly operating in some strong gray area, and I think it bodes well for Tennessee. So, no, I don't have any problems with Memphis ruling at all.
Yeah, I don't either. I think maybe this is a sign that we'll see more like this in the future, as long as there's not something egregious with the people who are still in place getting caught. So if I'm Tennessee, you never know if one thing leads to another, but if I'm Tennessee, I'd almost prefer to see this kind of light ruling on Memphis.
What is your biggest disagreement from ESPN's NFL power ranking?
Probably, I would say the Rams at number five. Like, I understand what the Rams did last year, but to put them at number five, I like the Baltimore Ravens and what Lamar Jackson is doing.
Ravens are too low.
I mean, my goodness. I would have to go with the Rams being number five. That's my biggest gripe.
I guess my gripe is that while they've technically earned it, that's a nice win this past weekend, Miami's not the best team in the NFL.
No.
So I recognize they're 3-0. I recognize that they just beat the Bills, even with the butt punt. But it's not the number one team. So I guess I have to gripe with what the system is that allows them to be number one, even though I understand why the Dolphins are number one.
With Big Boy coming to Knoxville for the Second Bell Festival, what's your top Outkast song?
I mean, the one that comes to mind may not be my favorite, but you know what? I'm going to go with my favorite. It's Elevators.
Okay.
It's Elevators. That's my favorite, man. Hey, Y'all, it's pretty energetic. You can see that. You can sing that with the kids in the car, but Elevators is the one that, it's a classic for me. So I'm going Elevators.
I like B.O.B., Bombs Over Baghdad. Probably there. ATLians would be very high on the list. I don't think you're making a wrong choice here in your selection. You, in general, whatever your number one Outkast song might be, several tracks could have included if you want to, with Big Boy being a collaborator, too, out there. Coming to town soon.
Tim Tebow's promise speech was 14 years ago today. What is the best sports speech given by a player?
Oh, man. Best? I don't know, man. I honestly That's the one that comes to mind. I can't think of anyone that was that really stands out. So Tim Tebow, go with that one. That's pretty good to me.
So all time, I think Lou Gehrig's luckiest man alive speech would stand out. I'm going to shout out VFL, though, whose speech, it's not going to be considered the greatest of all time, but I actually thought it was incredibly powerful at the time and could still hold up. That is the ESPY speech from Eric Berry, coming off his cancer battle and what he had to say, thanking those that are around him, his support system, and delivering a message of put it in your mind and go take on whatever challenge you're taking on. So accepting the honor that he received at the ESPYs on behalf of all the fighters, I thought was an incredible moment.
Oh, spot on. That's a good one.
All right, Swain gets the win.
DJ Khaled!
Man.
Yeah. Whoa.
Eric Berry's cancer-fighting ESPY speech. Not good enough to bring home the win, huh? Okay.
Me
all right.
And you, your mama and your cousin, too. That's what it was, man. It was elevators, baby.
I'm sure that's
it was an elevator answer. It elevated me to the victory.
Yeah, crazy. Your elevator choice took you to a higher level than me somehow today.
Crazy stat about the Tebow speech. After that Ole Miss loss, Florida faced six ranked opponents the rest of the year. Four of them were in the top eight. Florida won those six games by an average of four touchdowns.
Yeah, what Joel said. Tebow speech. I can't pick that one over EB speech.
No, I mean, I'll take Barry's speech over Tebow, but you
doesn't
know,
sound it's, like it. Certainly, it doesn't sound like it.
It's a five-question game, Josh.
Yeah, yeah. When you talk about, when
you think the first quarter is as important as the fourth in a lot of sports out there? Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, it is when they're all scored the same way. Yeah.
That speech from Eric Berry reminded me of Stuart Scott's speech there at the ESPYs. I mean, it was strong.
Yep.
But I'll take the win though. Before we continue, I want to make sure that man, we send some love and some good vibes and some prayers and thoughts, all that good stuff, positive vibes, anything to all our people that's going to be affected by the hurricane that's coming.
Very serious situation. Yes.
You know, we sitting here, you know, pointing out how beautiful the weather is here, right? And usually when we have good weather, it's because somebody else is suffering. And that's going to be the case here in the next couple of days. Got some friends in Tampa. I got some friends in South Carolina. So I just want to just send my best wishes to them. Hope they are safe and their property doesn't get damaged too much. And I just wanted to show some love to them.
100%. 100%. That is the face-off segment to close out this segment. Every day it's presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic. If you've dealt with aches, pains, you wake up and you're like, what's going on with my neck? Call up Marble City Family Chiropractic. Doctors Jason and Alicia Bloom can help. They can figure out what's going on. They can figure out how to help you. Call Marble City Family Chiropractic at 766-2081 to set up your one-on-one consultation. We'll come back here on Josh and Swain. Big boy, how you can see him, how you can help an important organization as well. When we come back, more Tennessee football. The Vols back, Knoxville's asking, Rocky Top's back. Everybody agrees there. We'll continue the conversation at Land Rover Knoxville, Parkside Drive, here until 3 o'clock on Josh and Swain on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Josh and Swain right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. We continue at Land Rover Knoxville. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Swain doing a little dancing in the showroom at Land Rover Knoxville. Outcast comes on. You have to move.
You have to when Hey Ya comes on. Like, you can't sit there and be still when that song comes on. I don't care if you can't dance, you got two left feet. You better move both of them left toes. You have to go. You got to move your feet. You got to move your body. You got to dance. Simple as that. Those are the rules.
Our next guest, Rusty Odom from Blank News, I think would agree. And we play Outkast coming in because Big Boy's coming into town. Rusty, you've got him as part of the Second Bell Festival coming up this weekend. That's a huge get, Big Boy.
Man, okay. Let me first off say Swaggy J and Swain, man. The best show, I mean, probably ever, you know? What do y'all think?
I mean, I think that nickname you just gave him is the best ever. Swaggy J, yes.
Swain, you see how that's starting to take off? People are noticing.
That's because they believe in it.
Yeah.
Not because they make it fun of you and think it's hilarious.
Certainly not.
Because they believe in it.
Nope. Certainly not. Yep. It's a credibility statement, I'm pretty sure, and I'm not the butt of the joke. We appreciate you being with us, Rusty. Do you have a favorite Outkast song, by the way? Is there a number one on your Mount Rushmore of their songs?
Man, it's so tough. I was thinking about that when you all were talking about it. It's probably Equimini. It might be 13th floor growing old. That's kind of one that not everybody knows. I think it's like right before Elevators on ATLians. But, man, I think they're probably the only band that I like at least a part of every single song they have.
Man, Equimini, when Andre comes in.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's nasty, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, man. That's a good pick right there, too.
So, Rusty, tell everybody what's going on, how this event has come together. Second Bell, Big Boy is going to be a big name for sure. I know you're excited about all the artists that are a part of it and how people here in Knoxville, those listening, want to drive in. It's an off weekend for Tennessee, how they can get to the festival.
Yeah, absolutely. So, man, we've been working to get Big Boy for about 4 or 5 years now, and then it just finally hit. You know, these things are hard to – it's hard to get everybody on the same page on this stuff sometimes, and just the logistics and everything just worked out perfectly. It's so crazy. So he goes, his son, Cross Patton, plays football for Nevada. He's a running back. And so he goes and sees all of his son's games. So we had it confirmed and booked for the bye week for us. And then I thought, oh no, is there a chance that maybe, you know, myself or the agent didn't realize that, you know, he needed to go see Cross play. And sure enough, I looked up Nevada's schedule and had the same bye week as UT, and I was like, let's go, you know. So it worked out. And so, yeah, just got lucky. And then, goodness, so that, I mean, Outkast is my favorite band of all time. So you know, I'm kind of in awe of the whole process. And after that happened, I talked with Benny Smith over from WTK, and he was talking to John Davis and the guys with Superdrag about getting reunited kind of very quietly behind the scenes. And so they were big boy fans. And so then we worked it out to where Superdrag came on. And I think that surprised people just as much as Big Boy. I know it did me. So, yeah. And then, of course, you know, our partnership with X Hunger over the years has just grown and grown. And, Josh, I know you do a lot with that organization. And but this year, through a partnership with Beatty Chevrolet, we're actually giving away a vehicle probably right before Big Boy on Saturday night. So we've got a lot going on. We've got a huge comedy lineup. Zach Fallon has always curated that for me, and he just does such a fantastic job. And so we've got a lot, you know, got a lot going on. Food trucks, got some, you know, be selling some libations of all kinds, and we're just going to have a big time.
So Second Bell Festival this weekend, where and when for people to be there?
Absolutely. So it's Sutry Landing Park, right on the banks of the Tennessee River. So the Barley stage this year is like it's kind of A stage, B stage concept. So you can see all the music. It's one stage playing at once, you know. And so when you're looking at the Barley stage, you'll see Neyland Stadium right in the background. It's just a beautiful space. So it's this weekend, Friday, the gates open at 4. Saturday, the gates open at 1:30. And it's just secondbellfest.com to get tickets. And I've also got something here I want to throw out for y'all. For anybody that's listening, this is going to just – we'll just do this for the rest of the day today. But if you want to come, you want to get a weekend pass, I'll give you $10 off if you enter the word chomp.
Oh, yeah. I know that, the word comes from.
What's the reference there, Swain?
my man Wright, running back for Tennessee.
I felt like it was appropriate, you know?
I love it.
Chomp, chomp, chomp with the slash.
That's right.
Let them know.
Peter's Price did it in the championship game.
I was surprised there was no flag there. Were y'all?
I was very surprised. I think the referee was looking right at him. I think the ref liked it.
Yeah.
He must have.
Yeah, this is one. There's some Tennessee fans that weren't too happy with the officiating. That would be a reference point that Florida fans, I know, have mentioned of, hey, what was going on? But, hey, it was all on Tennessee side at that point.
We got lucky.
Yep. So that's cool. The word to use, chomp, when you go to secondbellfest.com, that'll get you $10 off your weekend pass. Tickets available, secondbellfest.com, coming up Friday and Saturday, benefiting X Hunger, which is working to help end hunger in America. Wonderful organization set up here locally, X Hunger, a beneficiary of the Second Bell Festival. By the way, speaking of the win against Florida, our question today, Rusty, has been, is Tennessee back? Rocky Top's back, different opinions there. How would you answer that question or describe what might be back for Tennessee?
Be careful, Rusty. Be careful.
Yeah, no. Let me think about it. No, I think I know. As you all know, I run Blank Newspaper as well. We just celebrated our 15-year anniversary, so we've covered the Vols for a long time. So I've seen, and in fact, we started the paper in 2007, and it was going to be a sports paper, mainly, and then we quickly shifted. All of our focus wasn't going to be on sports because it was a little bit of a rough ride. So based off that period and where we're at now, absolutely, UT's back. And, it's not going to be all peaches and cream, but beating Florida, that was a big deal and almost giving it away, but not giving it away. Teams in the past wouldn't have happened. Florida would have pulled that one out. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Baseball's back. Basketball's been back. Football's back.
All right. Let the world know.
I'm not going to disagree because I want a ticket to the big boy. So. Great answer, brother.
Second Belfest.com is the website. Secondbellfest.com. Don't forget to use the code CHOMP today with the event going on Friday, Saturday, Super Drag, the headliner Friday, and Big Boy of Outkast on Saturday night. Secondbellfest.com. Hey, Rusty, thanks for calling in to tell us about it. Have fun this weekend and enjoy the rest of the week leading up to it. I know you put a lot of work into it.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you all so, so much for letting me come on and talk about it. I'm very grateful.
You got it. Thank you, Rusty Odom, Blank News, with Second Bell Festival coming up this weekend. X Hunger to benefit. Very cool.
Very, very cool.
Chomp.
Well, I love it. I love it. Let people save $10 using the word chomp. I am surprised that Wright did not get impounded.
Yeah, sure.
They
let a few things go. Like we were talking about the Carvin thing. It could have been offsetting, but
he pushed them hard too.
Really hard.
I mean, he pushed them really hard. But I thought the referees let a lot of stuff go, and I appreciate that. It's a physical game, it's a very emotional game, and I don't know why I said this. I talk about games so much in different places, but if the crew from the South Florida game was working, they would have been 15-yard penalties. They were super sensitive. They were soft and terrible. But these officials let them play, and I like that.
Yeah. I want to see Swain officiate sometime.
I ain't calling anything. Man, you bleeding? You okay? You okay? You mean basketball or football?
You name it. Yeah. You're going to give somebody the business out there.
Oh, football, I'm calling PI all the time. Oh, PI all day.
Yeah.
DBs, man. That's all they do. Grab a hole. I'm calling PI.
All they do. And that's the thing, because wide receivers never push off, never see it. We'll come back 1 hour to go here on Josh and Swain. Our phone number is 865-656-9900 today at Land Rover Knoxville on Parkside Drive on 99.1, the sports animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.